back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable first lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Jim. So glad to see Jim again. You know, I lost Jim because he has the weekends off. I'm awfully glad for him, but I'm not glad for me. Jim, this will be his last. I said, well, I drew you this morning. He said I wouldn't draw him for quite a time now.
It'll be about a year, man.
Oh, what do you know? You'll have the weekends off for about a year. Well, Jim, this is Father's Day. You're not a father, but you are a father. You got a stepson.
I am a father, yes.
Well, that'll be fine. I bet he'll get you something nice.
Tell
about it.
Well,
tell about it.
I don't want to take up your time, May, but
well, I want to know.
He brought me a brand new fishing license so I can go fishing with him.
No.
My wife brought me a brand new hat so the sun wouldn't paralyze my dome here.
Yeah.
And also some yard markers so I can find my way in at night, you see.
That is good. Well, thank you, Jim. And good morning, friends everywhere. How are you? And I should say Merry Christmas and 4th of July also. I never saw such weather. Don't you think it's been awful? Cold mornings that I wish I had an old pot-bellied stove to hover around. I like to froze to death yesterday morning. And then by noon, I've got a big electric fan going like mad. What a country is our Ozarks. What a country. Any kind of weather you want. Tomorrow is Father's Day, and I'm going to talk about the men, the fathers, and sing their praises, because somebody ought to say something good about them at least once a year, shouldn't they? Only a dad with a tired face coming home from the daily race, bringing little of gold or fame to show how well he has played the game, but glad in his heart that his loved ones rejoice to see him come home and to hear his voice. Only a dad with a brood of four, one of 10 million men or more, toiling, striving from day to day, taking whatever may come his way, doing with courage stern and grim the deeds that his father did for him. This is the line that for him I pen, only a dad, but the best of men. That was written by our famous Edgar Guest. I never hear of him anymore. You know, he's written more poetry perhaps of that type than anybody in the world. The men, yes, the men of this world. We can't wash them out, can we? I remember that 5 years ago, it was about that, I think, I dedicated my Father's Day program to one of the greatest men who ever lived, Will Rogers, who died so tragically, and left this world where he was really so needed. A man who came up from the grassroots, if ever a man did, and whose place can never be filled. No, it can't. And it was a unique man. That great rugged soul who could go among kings, and he could kid our presidents and write anything he wanted about them. And fine fella, nobody ever got mad at him. A quarter-breed Cherokee Indian who went around the world and sat in kings' palaces and yet did not lose the common touch. Who was never and could never be artificial or anything but just a sincere man of the early primitive type. A man who said his ancestors didn't come over in the Mayflower, but they were here on the reception committee when the Mayflower landed. Believe me, they were, with feathers in their scalps. They were here. We had such a gifted little girl down in the Ozarks of Arkansas who used to write the most remarkable poetry that I ever read from a 15-year-old child. She was destined to be one of the landmark poets of this age. There's no doubt about it, everybody said. But I don't know where she is now. They moved away and she got married and oh, I don't know what about it. Just a child almost. I don't know where she and her widowed mother are. They lived in Springfield a while and so many of us grieve over the loss of Betty Middlebrook. But I remember she wrote a poem about Will Rogers when he died. I don't have the poem just now, but I recall some of the lines. She called him our ambassador now from earth to heaven. And it ended with these lines. And still he kept on grinning all the while and giving jokes and wisdom with each breath. He taught the worried empires how to smile. The only grief he gave the world, his death. You know, what a child that she could, how she could write. It burned into my heart that that young girl, young as she was, could write that a man could live so in this world of this world of turbulence and worry that the only grief at the end he ever gave the world was his death. I wish we might all say that the only grief we'd ever give the world was our death. I sent this poem to the Will Rogers Memorial at Claremore, Oklahoma, and they wrote me that they had printed it on pure linen and framed it and hung it in the museum, and it's there today. There have been so many great men in this old world. I always feel a great sympathy to you men, you who are good men and citizens. Yours is really the burden. Yours the lying awake nights worrying over the bills and the rent and the problems, or the crops and the droughts and the wars and the making of wars. Of course, the women help you, and a lot of them work. But after all, it's your burden. But keep up your courage. Things always come out in the wash, as the old saying goes. Listen to these words. Be still and know whatever may betide, no door is closed, but another opens wide. Face each new day with courage and with song. Lift up your head and heart. Be strong. Be still and know whatever may betide. No door is closed, but another opens wide. And all my good wishes go with you. If I could wish you anything in this world today, it would be the comfort of a good, kind wife. One time a preacher was preaching on Father's Day, and he said to the women, "Women, your men are only boys grown tall. Hearts don't change much after all. Love them. Be good to them. If they let you, mother them. They need mothering." And he kept talking about mothering, mothering your husband. I heard this preacher in a big church in St. Louis, and when he said and he pleaded about mother them, I sat there and remembered a funny tale I'd heard, and I thought I was going to choke. I wanted to laugh so bad. I'll tell you the story I heard. I heard about a preacher who was telling the women that very same thing. Mother your men. They need love and mothering. And then he said, "All you women who will go home this day vowing to mother your husbands, come and stand in front of me here at the pulpit. I want to pray." Well, he waited, and the women were a bit timid, I guess. Anyway, they didn't come. Only just one weather-beaten sort of old soul came and stood in front of him. And she was very hard of hearing. He said, "Sister, God bless you. Do you promise to go home and mother your husband?" She said, "Oh, no, I thought you said to smother him." She went back and sat down. She's perfectly with. If he'd asked for that, he might have got quite a crowd in front of him. I want to send my special love to men who are farmers and till the soil. I think the greatest peace is found by those who live near to the ground, who find their work and play and rest close to the kind earth's warm brown breast, who work with flowers and trees and grain and feel the summer sun and rain, and see in life from sky to clod the open, living book of God. There are so many grand good men, I wish I had time to name them and to send my warmest friendship to so many that I know. And to my sons, Charles and Leslie, who are both fathers, bless their hearts, on this their day, and to my beloved son-in-law, Herman Jantz. You know, there's so much in poetry that's so beautiful, poetry that says something. It strengthens the heart and comforts it. I don't like the modernistic jumble of gibberish you read in so many of the magazines today that passes for poetry. It's like the pictures that you have to put them upside down to understand them. I love the poetry of the old masters and then the sweet, simple rhymes of everyday living in words that you can put together and understand. Poems of comfort about laughter and about God and about lovers and moons and rivers and mothers and wholesome living. Here's a little verse you men will like. When a feller's feeling broke and nothing seems worthwhile and he can't laugh or see a joke or even force a smile, there's nothing helps him quite as much as to hear some worse-off feller say, "I'm floored, but I can start again right now. This is another day." And here's a cute one for you men that somebody wrote, I don't know who. It's from the women. "For you, we exercise and diet, refrain from candy on the quiet, suffer massage in sundry places, cream and anoint our patient faces, pluck out our eyebrows, paint our lips, get manicures, reduce our hips, and 10 to 1 you leave us flat for a flip young thing in a floozy hat." Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth? Every day I'm thankful for so many things, and one of the many things is that my lot was cast in this great Ozark country. I reckon I ain't no Croesus, but I'm richer than old John D., for all the gold of these hills is mine to the mists of the purple sea. Yes, sir, every trail, every dark mossy place, every creek, and all that I remember with such poignant memories. I can see my brother right now, a happy lad coming up from Pine Run with his fishing pole and his fish. Little fish about as big as pumpkin seed. The same old path, I could find that path right now. And the rivers, oh yes, the rivers of our Ozarks. I was brought up on the banks of the beautiful James, our little town. Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, may be fair to look upon, brightly flowing streams, but on the banks of James River, iris-tinted James River, golden as the summer land clothed upon with dreams. Let others sing the Danube, the blue rolling Danube, lilied Nile and pictured Rhine and bonny banks of Aire. I'll sing the White River, silver gleaming White River, river of my own land, because my heart is there. Let others sing the Caucasus, the Alps and the Pyrenees, where the tempest has his lair and the eagle has her nest. I'll sing the Ozarks, green little Ozarks, because my home's there and because I love them best. I want to thank friends for the shower of trading stamps again this week, and just as many thanks for the women who send just a few, which they have, the women and the men, as for the ones who send several books. The gift is all the same. And for the woman who sent me $10 this week from the Lucky 13 Club, that was fine. Next Saturday, I'll tell you more about the stamps and everything, because I expect to go to Marshall Sunday to their big day and barbecue for the children, and I'll know more about things. And Mrs. Wyman will thank you over the air also today. I have given over my program today to the fathers and not much else, but God bless the fathers. But now you men, before I close, and because I don't want you to feel too puffed up, I just want to tell you about a clipping I read in the paper this week. Jim's going to have to take this. About a man in Madison, Wisconsin. His wife was applying for divorce and in a hurry. She wanted it right now. She said he poured white paint on their nice living room rug and tracked it through the house. He smashed the lamps. He ripped up the kitchen linoleum. He slashed the Davenport with a razor blade. He cut up the curtains and pulled the toaster apart. And he wasn't drunk either. So you're not all angels, I can tell you. What woman would want to live with a squirrel like that? Well, goodbye, and I'll be seeing you all next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.